It's wonderful to be here. We travelled down last night and experienced the joys of the M25 car park, and on the way down, but it's good to get here the day before and not be rushing on the day. I'm married to one wife, and Diana, and she's come with me this time. Do you want to come up and just say hello? So this is Diana. We've been married for 37 years. Most of those years have been happy. Okay. Do you want to say something?
I didn't say what I got. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Just say something first and then say what you've got.
Yeah, it's lovely to be here. I've met one or two people before, but not many. So looking forward to getting to know more people every weekend. But it's great to be here.
Good. Now, yeah, why don't we do what you've got right now and just say what you've got and then... follow up on that.
Okay, yes. Well, we'd be just trying to seek whatever the Lord wants to say to you this weekend. And Roger's got a lot more than I have. But last night, I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and was wide awake. And I thought, oh, that's a shame. I just wanted to get some sleep tonight. But I just waited and I sort of said to the Lord, well, is there anything you want to say to me? Or could you help me get back to sleep if not? And I just had this picture of a big ship, and then the sort of sense of inheritance. And you know, when we were little, my parents used to say, "Oh, we're waiting for our ship to come in," and it was to do with you know, waiting for some wonderful thing to happen to us, and everything's going to, you know, the ship's going to come in, or inheritance or something like that. I just the picture I had was of a big ship sort of out to sea, and it's not like here yet, but it's on the horizon. And I just felt that the Lord was saying that he's got like an inheritance for you as a church out there, but you can't see it. You can just about see it. It's on the horizon, but it's coming. And I just felt it was like God's love for you and his grace for this church and for you all, that he wants to bring Father, Son and Holy Spirit and everything that goes with that, more of that to you. And then I was... I got this memory of when I was at school, and we used to sing... we were taught how to sing this song called, well, actually, it was a poem. It was a poem by John Masefield called Cargoes, and it's about cargo ships coming in, and it's beautiful sort of poetry. And I've jotted down in the middle of the night some of the things that, and it was like a galleon, different galleons coming in with fabrics and spices and perfumes and jewels, and I just felt. The Lord was saying that he's going to bring ministries to you, and it's not just the ministries, and it's ministries, not ministry, which are going to be a great blessing to you. And but it's the Lord doing it, and I just felt he was saying he's like the mother hen who is gathering her chicks under his wings. So it's almost like I just felt the Lord was just putting his arms around you all, and he wanted to gather you together and really bless you. And it was to do with inheritance as well. And there's a little bit in 1 Peter. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. And it was like a spiritual inheritance. And just earlier in 1 Peter it says, "And to an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you." And I just felt like it was like just a promise of something on the horizon that all wants to bring you this inheritance. And it's like a big ship coming in with cargoes full of really good things.
Yeah.
I think that was it.
Okay, it's good. Yeah.
But
amen.
Then after that I was able to go to sleep again.
Good. Okay. So I just wonder, could we just stop there a second and say, Lord, please give us what you're saying through this cargo that you want to come in to this place. Just, I wonder if we can just lift up our hands. Lord Jesus, Lord, when Di wakes up during the night and gets stuff, I, over the years of experience, that it happens and you want to do it. They're not just words into the air. So we want to embrace what you've got for us, Lord. We want all those riches and those things that you want to do. We want the ministries that will release more of that anointing and help, Lord. We want people all across this area, Lord, to be impacted by the kingdom of God, that people would come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that people would be added to this church, that there would be an even greater sense of the kingdom going out. Lord, we bless the things that have happened and are happening now, but we want more. So may that ship come in, Lord, that you're promising us, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Roger.
Amen.
We didn't pray for you guys.
Oh,
that ship's probably already sailed. But So we'll just pray for you. Lord, we want to just say, would you release your word to us through Roger and I, Lord? Would you be with them? Would they know your presence? Father, help them to be obedient to what you're saying, even if it's awkward, Lord. Whatever it might be, we ask for a sense of you leading them so powerfully and strongly and truthfully, Lord. Bless them as they share, in Jesus' name.
Yes. Amen.
Can people hear all right at the back?
Right. Can you hear?
Yeah. It's good.
Okay. So I just wanted to say, this is my second visit here. And as we drew up, I said, oh, yeah, I've been here before. So five, 6 years ago now, they ran a pastoral training course here. And I came down in the morning and did my session in the afternoon and went home. So I've been here. And I know some of you quite well. I know Hannah quite well. Because when she was at school in Whitney, I used to teach her flute. And I may not have been the best teacher in the world, but I really enjoyed teaching Hannah the flute because she always had a delightful smile. There's something about a smile that just opens your heart to her. She's lovely. So, and seeing her on the Facebook and all those kids now, I thought, I can't quite work it out. I used to teach her at school. Great big family. It's wonderful. So, yeah, and I've met many of you on Leaders' Days and Days of Destiny and Transform and Family Camps. What else was it called?
2818.
All those times, yeah. So I've met. And some have even come up to Henley on Thames to conferences. Ian Andrews come to. Who was it who said, oh, yeah, this lovely lady here. She came all the way last, not this January, previous January, all the way up there to conference. So I feel part of this family. I do find it a wonderful thing to be part of the Salt and Light family. I went to a leaders' conference over a week ago, and people there from 26 different nations. Oh, it's just so lovely. I sat there and thought, oh, this is wonderful to be part of this family of all these nations. So it's good. So it's good to be here. I'm going to try and do try and give you some structure to this. I'm not known for my good structure and my good points and my good teaching points. So I'll try and sort of put some points in and also try and give you lots of examples. I get carried away in my examples and I get so excited as I remember what happened. But they're often a platform of faith for you to be able to say, why don't those things happen now, and let's have a go. So my aim coming, I think from the Holy Spirit, I believe from the Holy Spirit, is to try and inspire you to be having a go and seeing more of the supernatural of God and the power of God around. And it is for everyone. I don't believe it's just for a special few. There may be those that do it more so that others can get equipped, but it's for everyone. All of us can pray. All of us can see God's supernatural being displayed, and I believe there are some keys to open up having more of this among us. So I'm going to start with a scripture which I got this morning as I read my sort of walk through the Bible. I'm in Old Testament and Luke and New Testament, and I was in Luke. If you look at Luke 17, actually, to be honest, it was yesterday morning I got this. Luke 17 and verse 11. Luke 17 and verse 11. Familiar story. But I felt just stirred up about this little story. And I'll read it from Luke. Have you got there? Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. It's interesting, isn't it? He didn't do it just right there. He didn't say, "Right now, come over here and I'll lay hands on you and pray for you." He said, "Go." And they did what he said, and they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he had been healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to them, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." And there was just two little key things as I read that passage. One was this, that this is what I've seen over the years. Once people have been prayed for, they may not always get the healing immediately. They may not always just sort of, boom, it's there. But as they go over the next 24 hours and sometimes, you know, very shortly afterwards, healing comes because it's a process. So I want to encourage you, if you get a bit of prayer over this weekend, don't go and do what some people do and say, didn't work. My lack of faith. Person praying is pretty rubbish as well. You know, not the right person to pray to me. Don't go into that syndrome. Go into the cycle that says, "Lord, I prayed. I'm believing you. Here we go, Lord. Please, do what you want to do." And then secondly is, one of these guys wanted to go back and thank the Lord for what he did. And I love that spirit. You go into some places now, and one person gets up to testify. God touched me. He touched my left shoulder, and I haven't got anywhere near as much pain. And everybody does applause. Like that. And it's a wonderful atmosphere, because there's this thankfulness. Any little thing that God does, anything that's, you know, a bit of the kingdom, people are filled with a sense of joy. And as I go around a bit, I notice that our society is very, very cynical and unbelieving about anything supernatural. They don't want to believe anything outside the natural, they don't believe. So if I hear about something, no, it must be this, it must be that. And that can creep into Christian culture as well. We get a little bit of cynical. A little while back, I went to a local fellowship close to us because a guy had come over and heard me speak a bit about healing. He said, "Roger, you must come and do that healing talk in our church." So I did this healing talk. They were very receptive. Lots of people got prayed for at the end. And then he phoned me up a week later and said, "Roger, just thought you'd like to know. There's a lady in our church. She's responsible. She's a doctor. She's responsible for all the cesareans at this our local hospital. And she's part of the fellowship. And there was a word of knowledge you had about a coccyx being very painful, and that somebody had been on medication for 2 and possibly 3 weeks, and but it wasn't getting any better. In fact, the pain just went on. So this doctor sat there and she said, "I'm very actually cynical when I hear testimonies about healing as a doctor. I sort of feel, well, it could be this or it could be that." He says, "I'm not very impressed, to be honest. But when she heard about this coccyx being painful, 2 to 3 weeks, she just went, 'I've been on medication now 3 weeks and there's been no improvement at all. Blow me down, I think that's me he's talking about.'" So she came and got some prayer. I don't even think it was me that prayed for her, but I'd show people how to put your legs out in front of you like this and measure the length of your legs to make sure they're not the same length, and then pray for them in the name of Jesus, and you can watch the legs grow. And that can, you know, it's an avenue of faith to pray for lots of back pains and difficulties. And somebody had done this with her. And as she sat there, all the pain from her cortisone just lifted off her, and she said, blow me down. I'm so cynical about all this. I'm a doctor. And now I'm being healed in this meeting. And she, in front of the fellowship, said, do you know what? I just want to repent being so cynical, because for the whole week, all the pain's gone and I'm fine. And everybody went, So I want to encourage you, if you hear of any little testimonies and things that God does amongst us, you know, should we have that spirit of thank you, Lord, and just join in. Okay, let's look at this, and so I'll try and give it a little bit of structure. So, first little slide, I just tried to just outline that our Western mindset is based on a rational view, this sort of rational world view. Everything has a rational explanation, we are taught. We're taught that at school, we're taught that when we listen to the media, that is their framework of seeing things, where we only believe in things that can be scientifically proven. And so the miraculous and anything outside of side of that is seen in a very sort of cynical light. If you go to Africa or India, they have a mindset which embraces the supernatural into everyday life. Sometimes that's helpful, sometimes it isn't helpful. If they're into all sorts of witchcraft, it isn't helpful. All sorts of curses, and they won't do things because of days and everything. That's not helpful at all. But I think the Lord wants to break through and show us that our mindset should be open to His Holy Spirit coming and working and doing the miraculous. He wants to break in and do all sorts of wonderful things. And so we want to develop that sort of embracing lifestyle of His supernatural. And that started for me when I got filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'd been brought up in a Baptist church, and I'd been taught well, I'd come to know Jesus. We had actually a really excellent youth group in our church, and there was great opportunity. And some nights in our Baptist church, the singing and the atmosphere was electric. It was, you know, people were getting saved, it was wonderful. But as I went on my teen years, I became sort of more interested in what everybody else was doing out there, and abandoned my sort of faith and my love for Jesus. Funnily enough, I still went to church, but my sort of trust in God and everything had fallen away. I got engaged to a girl. I was doing my pre-college year before going to agricultural college, and the relationship I was in fell apart, and I realised that my life and what I'd set out to do in my life, all that now had sort of was beginning to fall in. And so I wanted to reach out to God in a fresh way and say, please, Lord, I need to get my faith back in you. And there was a small group of people in the little seaside town of Sidmouth, where I was working, that had a coffee bar. It was a free evangelical church, and they had this coffee bar that met on a Thursday night. And I went along to this, and I was amazed because they worship, they put their hands up. Some of the girls used to go, Jesus. And I thought, ugh, that's really a bit sort of, you know, it just sounds weird, you know. And wasn't into that at all. But I liked it. There was a warmth and there was a love amongst these people, and they would pray for one another for healing to happen. And little by little I said, do you know, you guys have got something that I haven't got. What is it? And they said, it's the Holy Spirit, Roger. I said, well, I'm a Christian, I've got the Holy Spirit. He said, yeah, but you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, I said, well, I got born again, that's the same thing. He said, no, Roger, it's slightly different. You need to get that experience of the power of the Spirit in your life. I said, oh, well, I think that's a bit dodgy. But even though my head said it was dodgy, you avoid it, I just love the warmth, the worship. The guy leading the worship used to have his shirt out, you know, like this. And it would sing, and everybody would join in. And at the end of their worship, they would sing out in these in their tongues, these languages they got. And they'd sing and sing, and it was beautiful harmonies and stuff. And I played the flute, and I'd done a bit of music, and I thought, wow, those harmonies and stuff are just gorgeous. But I couldn't join in, because I could only do it in English. It didn't sound anywhere near as nice and as good as them. And so eventually I said, okay, you say I need to get this baptism in the Holy Spirit. Could you give me some verses of scripture? Give me a little leaflet all about, you know, baptism in the Holy Spirit, how it can be a second experience of the power and the grace of God. And I went and looked in my little caravan, and I remember starting to cry in my caravan. Why didn't anybody show me this before? Well, I didn't quite understand that a Baptist church, you know, you're pretty strong on that, and you're pretty anti-Pentecostal, and so, you know, you get taught not to go down that road. So I had to break something in my own mind, and so I said, yeah, come, could you pray for me for this? So I went and got some prayer, and two people prayed for me to be baptised in the Holy Spirit, and guess what happened? Absolutely nothing. And so I remember a couple of days later being on my tractor doing what we call rolling. This is a ploughed field, and you have a roller at the back of your tractor, and you just go up and down all day, breaking up this sort of soil. And the only thing you've got to remember is to turn the tractor around at the end of the field. Not a very interesting job, but it's got to be done. And so I would have conversation with God. I said, Lord, I really felt that this thing about Holy Spirit, baptism in the Holy Spirit was real, but it's not real. And I'm really disappointed. I don't know what to do next. And there's a little thing inside me saying, why not try to see if you can speak that language? And so I tried on the tractor. I would go along, please, Lord, as a good Baptist, please protect me from any weird stuff, particularly anything Pentecostal or anything out there that's definitely not of you. But if this really is of you, please could you give me a few words in an unknown language? And I would go, Sharabasikaramanda. And then I would go, no, that's just me making up gibberish and rubbish. So, but I, the thing is, if you're all day on a tractor, you know, if you've got anything else to do. So I would go, yeah, but it's quite good fun. Let's have another go. And I did a little bit more, you know, please, Lord, protection, please, Holy Spirit, come on me, please, a bit more. And here we go. By the end of the day, I would be doing a bit English, and then up on the sort of standing up on the tractor, accelerator. You do the accelerator by hand, up nice and big, sort of cloud of smoke coming out of the tractor. That was to make sure nobody else could hear me. Because the thing was, I was miles away from anybody else, but I just wanted to make sure nobody could hear me. And Lord Jesus, I quite like you. Lord, I can think I could go even, Jesus. Oh, it's not too bad. Right. And Sharabari, and I would go up and down on the tractor. I don't know how you can do it on the tractor, but I did. And I got off the tractor at the end. You're going to have my lunch, end of that part of the day. You're going to have my lunch. And I was walking like this. And I thought, I feel a little bit funny. And I remembered they said, sometimes when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can feel a little bit drunk. Because that's what they did on the day of Pentecost. They said, you know, it's only 5 o'clock in the morning, whatever those little phrase meant, and only 9 o'clock in the morning. And I remember, you know, just the power of that experience. On the Thursday, back to our little coffee bar, worship session, guy with his shirt out. I was going, oh, I do hope they do that singing stuff at the end. Sure enough, they all started singing. I sort of lifted up my hands a little bit, Jesus. And then, Yen-da-ra-ba-shin-da-ra-ba-shin. And you know what? I had my go, and it worked. It fitted in with everybody else. And I thought, well, this definitely isn't satanic, because it fits in with everybody else. And what I remember, you remember, I've just finished an engagement. It all broken up, I'd finished it. Two girls came across to me and said, Roger, were you singing in tongues then? And I went, yes. I remember, I don't think I did that, but that's inside, that's what I felt like. And I remember, do you know that one of those wonderful treasures and gifts I've had ever since and love it, that I was released in a new language. That, to me, was my kicking off point for embracing the supernatural of God. And it made church interesting. Who was going to get healed? Who could we pray for? You know, some people got delivered. Do you know, that was a little bit more exciting than just standing there with my hymn book in church, looking down the back of somebody's neck. You know, it was a bit more exciting when the Holy Spirit was moving and being around. And I think the majority of people in church want a little bit more of that. And I want to encourage us, you know, as this sort of weekend goes along. Let's say, yes, Lord. Could we say that just right now? Yeah. Please, Lord. Yes, Lord. Together, we want more of your Holy Spirit. We want to see the supernatural, Lord. And Lord, we want to put aside our disappointments. And there's lots of them, Lord. Lord, we've prayed for people. And people with cancer. And they haven't got better, Lord. They've gone to be with you. And Lord, that often that disappoints us. But Lord, you are available to us today. And we want to say, please, could you increase the level of the supernatural among us, Lord? Please, could we see healings, Lord? Please, could we see your power release? Could we see our friends, Lord, as we share with them dreams and visions and things? Could you stir in their hearts, Lord? You've stirred in our heart, Lord. Stir in their hearts too, Lord. Could we see in our fellowship meetings more people getting healed, more words of knowledge, more words of wisdom, more prophetic words that are going to release people into greater anointing of your ministry among us? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. I haven't done very well, have I?
I'm only up to...
Just, could you go back to the number three? All right, which... okay, could you do it... Actually, there's number two there. If you go back, it's the wrong PowerPoint. There are two PowerPoints.
Oh, sorry,
they start off the same.
That's my fault.
Is it? It's number two first. I'm sorry, it's, you know...
Number two.
Number two first. That's great, isn't it? Number two first. So, it's got a little sort of picture. Anyway... I was talking about how I got started, just as a provocation for us. One of the things I did, after this sort of time in Sidmouth for getting seeing the supernatural and getting released in and being baptised in the Holy Spirit, singing in tongues and everything, that got me going on the supernatural. And I noticed another thing they did, they prayed for one another. People prayed for one another, and then they would come back with little testimonies of, you know, having had pain all week down with their side, now they can move it, and I like that. And I went back home to my home in Bristol to retake my A-level, and so I've done that one. And the next one, right, Introduction to Healing, yeah. And there was, okay, take that photograph, that's right, just that, wonderful. I saw advertised, there's a group called the Good News Crusade, and they were having a big, they had these Easter conventions in Ipswich. And I thought, and they advertised it, healings, people getting out of wheelchairs, blind receive their sight, all these sort of things. And I thought, this is outrageous, you can't say that. You know, you can't say that is going to happen, that is just arrogant, that's wrong. But I'd like to see a miracle. So I think I'll go. It's weird what we do, isn't it? You know, you say one thing and then we go. And, well, on the Saturday night, there's this big, tall guy, taller than me, and bigger than me, and a guy called Don Double. And he was preaching away, Jesus Christ! Big shouting, you know, style. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sorry if shouting puts you off, but I'm just trying to act out what he was doing. And he says, Jesus healed people then when he was alive, and he wants to heal people today. And sort of, and he shouted through his message like this. Well, I find it quite exciting. If you're in a Baptist church and it's all teaching, it's nice to have a bit of, you know, different, and the shout is quite fun. And well, he got to the end of his message and he said, there's somebody here, you had a crash. And you were in a white van and you damaged your back. All right, you're in a white van. So, no, that wasn't the crash, but I just thought you'd like to see a picture of a white van. And You done is your back and your leg. So do you want to put that on? You can see, it's the back, leg. And who is that man? Silence. And then halfway from the back, this guy put up his hand. Right, I would like you to come to the front, please. So I thought, that's a bit sort of off in it, just telling this guy to come to the front. But sure enough, this guy got out of his seat and hand on his back, hand on his leg. And I thought, his back doesn't look too good. And his leg doesn't look too good either. So it looks as if he's got that one right. Now, I had to make a choice here, this one. This speaker could have talked to this man before, got the information from him, and then just did it to make it look good. So it could have been a setup. So the guy then, he got to sit down on the chair. Grab a chair a minute. He sat him down in front of everybody. Can't see the rest of the pipe. Okay. And, excuse me, he got him to put his leg out, and he held with another guy, I think the guy was called Mike Darwin, was his name, this guy, and he held his legs, and his legs were all like this, twisted. And he said, I'm going to pray for you now in the name of Jesus, and your leg is going to straighten. So I thought, well, that's arrogant. But as he prayed, this guy, his leg went click, 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 straight. And when they straight, everybody went like that. Now, what if we could do it together? Just so we can go. After three, one, two, three. Oh, that's pretty good. Just like that. But there was about 300 people there. And there was this. And I thought, wow, it's like electricity went through me. And I thought, do you know what? That's God. That's the Holy Spirit. And this guy then got up to go to his place and he was wobbling all over the place like this. I thought, why is he wobbling when he's been healed? I thought, well, he's not used to his leg all being straight and everything. He's going to have to get used to it. And I went and spoke to him afterwards and looked at him. And he was really happy. He was fine, I thought. I like that. Wouldn't it be great to pray for people like that and see legs healed like that? I thought. Something in me thought, yeah, it's what I want. Now, years later, Okay. Years later, I was at Abingdon. I've been a pastor at four different churches. Cope Baptist Church, and then in Whitney, where Hannah was. And then I went to Abingdon. There was a smaller church plant that shrunk. And we were there, and we grew to about 70. And then we've come to Henley-on-Thames Baptist Church. It's not very Baptist, actually. They can't believe when we go to other countries that I come from a Baptist church, because their picture of Baptist is very different. We were in Abingdon, and at Abingdon, the RE teacher at the school, John Mason School it was, used to get a vicar in to do the little bit on miracles when they came to that part in their GCSE syllabus. And there's this thing of miracles, and the kids had to discuss whether they believe what was in the Bible and whether miracles happen today. And they would put their views down, they would get a vicar in or somebody in. And up until that time, all the vicars had said, well, miracles used to happen, but they don't happen now. Oh, we've got the National Health Service now. And, oh, dear. And then he'd heard about this other minister in the town who went and visited places and believed in miracles. So let's get him in, just because it's so boring getting these other vicars in. So I went in, and sure enough, I sort of said, I believe Jesus did miracles then, and he does them now. And so I just gave an example. On Sunday morning, there's a lady in our church. She came in. She'd been decorating. And as she'd been decorating, she lifted her arm right up to pull the wallpaper off, and she cricked her back. And then she bent down to lift a paint up, and she clicked her neck. So she came in with her neck, hand on her neck and on her back like that, and came into our fellowship that morning. And she said, Roger and Di, could you do your thing of praying for my legs and my neck? So she put her arms out like that, prayed, whoop, like that, and she felt her arms growing out to the right length, and all the pain in her neck went like, she went like that, says, great, now the back. She sat down, put her legs together, we prayed, her legs went whoop, like that, and she went, whoa, that's great. She phoned us up during the day, says, I know it's Sunday, I shouldn't really be decorating on a Sunday, but my back's brilliant, my neck's brilliant, I just thought you'd like to know I've been decorating and I'm fine. As I said that to these kids at the school, one kid put up a hand and said, I can't raise my other arm, I can't get up in the air, and it's all gone stiff, would you pray for me? I said, I'm really sorry, we're not allowed to pray at a comprehensive school like this, because, you know, that's outside of what we're allowed to do here, but if you came along to another meeting, then you could get some prayer. And she started crying. She's in front of all the kids with the teacher. That's not fair. You tell us these stories, but you won't even pray for us. I said, well, I'm really sorry. We can't do that. It's not quite what I expected. And then a bloke at the back, a young guy at the back, says, yeah, and I've done my back in the back. Can you pray for me, please? Like you pray for that girl. I said, no, sorry. We can't do that. And the teacher then leant forward. He said, Roger. He said, the next period, when the bell goes, we have a break, and they're, you know, free time out in the sort of yard and everything. If you want, I'll let you pray for people in this classroom afterwards. So I said, okay, your teacher takes full responsibility for anything that will happen, but if you want to get some prayer, then we'll stop after the bell goes. So I expected two people, this girl and this guy, to come up and just get a prayer. I brought a team with me. I got some student girls with me. And I said, we'll just pray for you quickly at the end. So, anyway, bell went. Kids, instead of going, all moved to the front. They all moved up to the front of the class. And a few of them went outside, so I thought, at least some of them gone. They went outside. They went and told their friends, there's a vicar here who's going to do a miracle. Come in and watch. And so they brought a whole lot more. So the whole class was filled up. So I go, well, I'll just do a little prayer and that's it. So I thought, well, we're going to have to do what, you know. It was one of those make or break situations. If God did nothing, then it would be total failure and I wouldn't come back again. But if I did, God did something, then maybe we'd come back again. So I said to the girl, okay, could you just put your arms together so we can see the difference? So she put her arms together. Sure. Right. And I thought, hang on a minute, that's a whole hand different in length. I'm used to praying, you know, the half an inch at the end, and it will go like that. But not a whole hand, that's beyond what we used to. So I said, could you do it again, please? Hoping that she got it wrong and it would come more like that. She did it again. Boom, like that. So I thought, well, here we go. So I got one of the girls to put a hand underneath, put my hand on the back of the neck, and said this, in the name of Jesus, neck be healed and shoulder right now be loosed and released in Jesus' name. I said that on the outside. Inside, I was going, help! Lord, if you don't do anything, we're going to look stupid. But I said, in Jesus' name, be healed. And this girl, like this, you then have this horrible moment. I call it, some people call it panic. Other people call it waiting faith. I call it waiting faith. We waited a few seconds. And this girl went, and little by little, each time she would, and each time her neck moved and clicked round a bit more, and she would do this little cry and was doing. So all the kids were watching, and these kids, their eyes became like saucers, you know. And they were going, that is weird. That is weird. At this point, I just felt total delight. I thought, Lord, you're here for all these kids. Some kids started crying as they saw it. One kid went like this, I don't believe in God, but what I'm watching now, I don't know what to think. Yes. And eventually, all her arm moved right out like that, right to the other. And then she lifted her arm like this. It hadn't been unlifted before. Like that. One little guy said, he shouted out, "It's a corn trick!" You know, a trick. And this little guy, he was holding on to the desk in front. He says, "No, it isn't." He says, "I can feel it right here." And then he went, "Whoa." So, I had half the class crying, kids going, "This is weird." And things, "Do you know what? I didn't believe in God, but I think I'm beginning to believe in God now." And this little guy on the floor, laid out across the floor, slain in the spirit. So I'm thinking, what are they going to do next lesson? They're going to go to the head, everything's going to happen. So I said, "Now, you may feel a little bit funny, this may be a little bit different for you, but don't worry, it will just lift off you in the next few minutes and you'll be fine for your class." That's my statement of faith. One other little girl came up and she said, the guy with the back, we prayed for him, his legs grew like that. And as his legs were growing, one of the guys said, you're pulling his leg, you're pulling it forward. And the guy sat down and says, "No, he's not. It's my leg and I can feel it. It's growing on its own." So I didn't need to do anything. I haven't got to prove anything. And another girl comes up and she says, "Do you know what? I'm meant to run in a county race tomorrow. I'll do the 200, is it the 200 yards? Yeah. She's in that race and says, "I've gone and pulled my tendon and I can't run. Do you think it would work for me?" So she said, "Let's have a go." So we sat her down, held her leg. As we held her leg, she just shook. Now, this girl had not been to Toronto or any of those sort of meetings, and she didn't know what shaking was. But she just sat there and she said, "What's happening to me?" She says, "Oh, don't worry, just the Holy Spirit just flowing through to bring you healing." And her friends go, "Look at her, look at her, look, 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 look." Just great. And she ran in the race, we heard next week. She was able to run fully. She'd come second in the county. So not bad. I sort of thought, that's prayer, Lord. And we got invited back to that school again and again and again. So the teacher said, "You're coming back." So I was obedient, came back. One little kid came to me, this is about a year later. So, "Sir, just thought you'd like to know, I've become a Christian." He says, "I just loved the times you came in, the times you came." I thought, that's what I want to be like. I want to be a believer like you. So I said, "That's great. He's in part of the church." You know, what I believe is the supernatural, the power of God, releases something so that others want to get on board as well. That little happening to me back there at Ipswich put seed in my heart. I thought, I want... God listens. God listens to your prayer. God listens to your prayer. If you got in your heart and said, "Lord, I'd like to be used too. I'd like to see your supernatural. I'd like to see people getting healed." Now, some people say, "Well, healing, the gifts are different. Everybody's got different types of gifts. Healing is for some, this is for others, teaching is for others." Yeah, listen, we can all experience that 1 Corinthians chapter 12 set of gifts, those nine gifts, which include healing as part of them. Prophecy, tongues, and that's for all of us, not just a special few. So God wants us to be involved. I just wonder if we could just a second say, "Lord, if something in your heart has just struck, say, Lord, I do want to be used. Please could you use me?" Could we just do a quick prayer? Maybe just put up a hand as well as we're doing. If you just stood up, "Lord, I want to use me. Please would you use me?" Here we are, Holy Spirit. Please could you use us? Do your work in us, we pray. Holy Spirit. Lord, right now, as you've put just some fresh things in our heart, some of us, Lord, right now, have been imagining, just praying for a friend or a family member or situation in church, and you've just put a seed in our heart. Lord, we're not going to push that down. We're going to say yes. We're going to pray those simple prayers, believing prayers, that you're going to do something. Lord, would you do it in Jesus' name? Amen. What time are we meant to break the coffee?
10:45.
Okay, got a little bit more. Got a little bit more. Okay. I'm doing it. Okay. Could you go on to slide number 6?
Yes. I'm just mouthing, there's no coffee. It's a quick toilet break.
Not it's a quick toilet break, is it? Oh, okay.
Our coffee lady, Karen, was just panicking there.
Okay. All right, let's go on to slide number 6. I just want to just turn to a couple of scriptures. Right, keep going on past those. You go whizzing past those. And that one. Yeah, we've done that one. Healing scriptures. Okay, just take the feet away a minute. Two Chronicles. I was reading through my Bible a little while back, and I came across this little passage in 2 Chronicles. And I thought, this is a real provocation. 2 Chronicles, chapter 16, and verse 11. It talks about a king called Asa. And Asa was a good king, king of Judah, and this is what it says. The events of Asa's reign, this is verse 11 of chapter 16, of 2 Chronicles, from beginning to end, are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa was afflicted with disease in his feet. You can put up the picture of the feet. And I went onto the internet and diseases in the feet. And that was some really gruesome pictures. And it's gone frozen. And so I just did a nice picture. Eventually it will come. Just a nice picture of one certain disease. This little disease in the feet stops any hair growing on your feet. You thought that's good, but actually there's something wrong when that happens. There's no hair at all. But Asa had got a bigger problem than that. He got pretty diseased feet. And then it goes on, though his disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from the physicians. Then, in the 41st year of his reign, Asa died and rested with his fathers. Now, that's a strange little verse, and it was strange that it underlines this little thing. He did not seek help from the Lord, but only from the physicians. Present day, we only ever bother going to the doctor. We don't go, Lord, please, this migraine I've got, could you do something for me? Could you bring some healing? Before I rush to get my, for me, dissolvable Disprin, that seems to work well for me. Lord, before I do that, I just want to lift my heart to you and say, please, Lord, would you do something? Or when it's a bit more sort of severe than that, to actually say, you know what? I need to call the elders of the church. I've had this long-term thing. It's getting me low. James chapter 5 talks about calling the elders of the church and getting them to pray over you and anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, why am I suggesting more work for the elders in your church? Well, why I'm suggesting it is we need an atmosphere of the Lord being involved in our physical state. Because he's not just interested in our spirits, he's interested body, soul, and spirit. He's interested in it all. And healing shouldn't just be left to the occasional special speaker or the conference. Healing should be part of the atmosphere of our whole community. So, things like calling the elders of the church, praying with, if you've got kids and your children, praying for them first. Yes, physicians are important, and going to our doctors is very important, and we need all that. But praying as well and asking Jesus to bring healing is also a great help. And sometimes to go, do you know, I've had this thing for a long time. Why don't I take a couple of days and fast and pray about it and then get some prayer? If we just leave it till we're about to die and then get the elders in, I'll tell you what will happen. Quite a lot of people will die. And the elders will come at the last minute, pray. Nothing much will happen because they should have called them a lot earlier. And we'll all get disheartened because we'll say it doesn't work. What we want is an atmosphere where time and time again we're coming to the Lord and asking him to do things and we're finding he does things. Some people have said to me, Roger, some of your words are not. They're very small little things. Why are we bothering with those little things when there's people out there starving and hungry? I said, well, I believe that God wants to, you know, us to have an atmosphere of faith. So the little things, you start with the little things and you grow in faith, and then some bigger ones come, bigger healings come. You know, some of the big cancers, they go because there's an atmosphere of faith. So Asa died because he didn't see the Lord. Now, just turn with me to another little scripture. Just want to give you a few little scriptures so that we know we're not just basing it on a nice lot of testimonies of a few. Psalm 103. This way. Psalm 103. This is, some of you are salesmen. You've been salesmen or saleswomen. You're selling, you're in marketing. And what you'll know is you always have written down the benefits of your company, the benefits of your product and your aftercare service and everything. And I think that actual whole thing comes is a biblical thing. That wherever we go the benefits of being in Christ. You know, the Christian message. And we talk to people about the benefits. If you spend all your time talking about all the disasters of church, people won't readily want to become Christians. That's part of life, but it's the same in any company as well. But you go out and say the benefits of what it is to be in Christ. These are some of the benefits. Here, what? Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Verse 1. All my inmost being praises his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins. Isn't that wonderful? Washing clean. All the stuff you've done in the past, all the terrible thoughts you've had, all your wrong actions, you are washed clean. Wonderful. Number 2, who heals all your diseases. Pretty bold, isn't it? That's the psalmist, that's David saying, heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The benefits. So we're going on the benefits of God. So we want to be a people that embrace and reap the benefits, and healing is part of that. Let me just go one more little scripture. Mark chapter 5 and verse 24. Let's see this worked out with Jesus. Mark 5, 24. Thank you. Mark 5 and verse 24. So Jesus went with him. That was with the synagogue ruler, and he was going to see Jairus, his daughter. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She'd suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet instead of growing better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she had been freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned round in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Just wonderful picture here for us of the way it works. A reaching out, an atmosphere of faith, and of her receiving power that flowed through Jesus right to her. What I find is this is the way it seems to happen. If people have faith, or if the person praying has faith, then something is lit. Something is lit in this sort of process. What I find is very often you can almost sense and feel the power flowing through you into the other person. If that person adds to it and she or he has got faith, then it's often there's even more happening. And there's a flow of his power.